tell you that I also am a member of the Rossborough family. And for me, it was about because I married Jean, who was one of you. She spent way over there in Zambia. I got married to Jean 11 years ago, and I went to with and the first three in Zambia. Actually, we both came back to Canada, thankful to the Lord, and I thank dear brother and giving the opportunity to share a little gospel for you here at Parkcrest this morning. I feel right at home with you. Several of you I do remember. I just had to ask Jim here. Now, what? Your wife's name starts with J, too. I said, I need a little prompting. But then when the announcements were being up, Jan's name came up. And I remember more of you here, Brother Andrew, for giving me the opportunity to share a few precious truths, all from God's Word, by the way, as usual. But we're going to have a very simple little topic that the Lord has laid on my heart before I left Winnipeg to come, actually. And when Andrew asked, would Jay Hayes like to come and speak? I said, you tell him, yes, I'd like to come. So here I am. My little message this morning has three words in it. God as, isn't that young people as well? Nothing very complicated about God has spoken. And we're going to little bit about what God expects in response to his speaking to us. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Open your Bibles at Hebrews 1 and verse 1, and we'll just read down a few verses just to see what the writer to the Hebrews has to say about God speaking. And when I considered this before making these little notes, it never had hit me as readily as it is now. How God does this. Listen, this is what it says. The first word is God in Hebrews chapter 1. God who at various times in here's the first part. God spoke in times past fathers. They are by the prophets. Verse 2. But God has in last days, again, here's the word, spoken to us, by his Son. God has spoken and has appointed heir of all things, whom through this Blessed One called the Son of God, we know that's the Lord Jesus himself, through he made the world. Is that right? For all of you who wonder about creation, here's a key verse for you. Through this God made the worlds. But that's from some other scriptures. And listen to what it says about this person, the Son, that God has spoken to us about. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. Better than the angels, has by inheritance obtained more excellent name than name. Here's a couple of examples that he gives here. For to which the angels, did God ever say, "You are my son"? This day, you are the son. Today, I have begotten. Again, I will be to him a father. God the Father, speaking of the Lord Jesus, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I guess we can read verse 16. When he, God says, angels of God worship him, and of who makes the angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. God has spoken. These few verses just give us a few things about. There are two time frames mentioned here. The times past, when God spoke. Yes, that's the first time frame. And the other time frame is, when do you think? Right. Time frame, it goes back over 2,000 years to the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, born to the Virgin Mary there in the little town. We all know the story of the birth. But there's the second time frame. It's referred to here as being in the last and the time that I believe all of us. What's happening our world today, nobody knows how to figure it out. Forget them. The powers like the military happening in places like that, and in China, they know what's happening in the world. Do we know? Times these are, those things that are happening, the earthquakes and the things that are happening. The Bible says, when these, what have happened, when these things begin to come, look up. You know why? Because our redemption is coming very, being fulfilled. Oh. Our faith and trust in him, known as the bride of Christ. He's coming to take us. He's the bridegroom. We, as Christians, are his bride. Times. He spoke in time past. Oh. But not two separate. Oh. He spoke to the fathers. Who were they? Well, those were the Israelites, the old people, Testament. We have a Bible, two portions. The big, thick part at the beginning is the Old Testament, and the smaller part at the end, after Jesus came, the Gospels start out, New Testament, and those are the people that we're in now, these people, the Old Testament people, and under the New Testament, we don't read about as much about the Jewish people. The Lord was a Jew himself, born, naturally speaking, into a Jewish family, but he was the eternal Son of God. And we now are his, are the Gentile people. So there are two different time frames, and two separate people, the Israelites and us as the Gentiles. Oh, isn't that interesting? Yes, it is. And there are precious, precious promises for us as the Gentile believers because of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. And then there are two very different persons. Oh, where do you get that from? Well, God, who at sundry times and in divers spake in time past, there's the time, unto the fathers, there's the Jews, by the prophets.
old.
God spoke all in the Old Testament through people. And those people were, many of them, were the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. We know there's Old Testament is full of prophets. We're going to read a little bit about that. But in these the last days, who has he spoken to? Prophets? No. He's spoken to us, the Gentiles, by his Son. And that's marvelous, isn't it? That's why we have Parkcrest Bible Chapel, isn't it? That others may come to know God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom he would speak to us today. The fathers, Israel, spoken to by the prophets, but we are the Gentile people today, and we've been spoken to as the church of Jesus Christ by the Son. We're going to see something about him. He created all things, it says. Yes, God chose his Son to be the one whereby he laid the foundation of this earth that we're a part of here at Parkcrest this morning. The stars, the firmament, above the firmament, to the heavens, all that we see that scientists and others marvel at today with telescopes and these things that they shoot off to Mars and so on, tell us that this universe of ours is beyond any imagination that we can have. Where did all this begin? By whom God made the worlds. Open your Bible at the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Open your Bible. I want you to notice something in Genesis 1 about God's creation. Did he have any dynamite or any special equipment to cause things to happen when God created? Listen to what it says. In the beginning, God created. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth. By what? By his word, which he spoke. Is that right? Verse 3. Then God said. He didn't put off some dynamite. No, he spoke. God spoke, let there be light. And as quick as that, God, through the sun, when the Lord said, let there be light, nothing happened as far as anybody else is concerned, but it says there was light. Right then, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you read down through the chapter six times over in God's great creation, then God said, let there be a firmament. That's something God said. And then he said, let the waters, God said, God has spoken. All he did in creation was speak, and everything took place. And the Lord saw that it was good. After each of the 6 days, as God saw what he had done, the Bible says it was God saw that it was good. And after those 6 days, of course, we know that God rested on the seventh day. And after my first wife passed away many years ago now, I read in Hebrews, in Genesis chapter 2, there was something that God saw that he didn't like. It was not good. We all know what that's. It says, God said it is not good for a man to be alone. And I was way down in the dumps that way. I had a wonderful life with my first wife for 47 plus years. And I agreed with Moses, who wrote these first five books of the Bible under God's leadership. God was speaking through Moses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the prophets. Moses was one of those prophets of the Lord who wrote down that he was right when he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so here, as you know now, 11 years ago when I became a member of the Rossborough family by marrying Jean, I proved that verse to be so, so true. And here, God in his word here tells us that when God was making things, creating things, he only had to speak. God has spoken to us in sundry different times by the prophets. And in these last days, oh, here's the second time frame we're going to be looking at, by his Son. And he's spoken unto us as the world. What do we know about the world in God's sight? We read right from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through about a means whereby God was prepared to accept us, the same as he accepted in the old times the Israelites to himself. What was it on the basis of? Sacrifices, wasn't it? Oh, the chapter Exodus, in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, many of those books that we read, all these different sacrifices. But we get into the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, and the writer of the Hebrews says, it was not by the blood of the animals which were being sacrificed that God was prepared to receive and forgive. But this man, oh, that's the Son, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One. Where was that? That was at a place called Calvary, wasn't it? We all know that. After he had offered himself as a sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins, for how long? Oh, these sacrifices of the Old Testament had to be repeated year after year after year. It says in Hebrews, there was always a remembrance made. Sacrifices of what? Sin. Oh, was there not total forgiveness in the Old Testament? No. But this man, listen to what it says now, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for how long? Forever. He sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now that tells us again that the Lord Jesus not only died on the cross of Calvary, but on that third appointed day that he said, I will rise again, he did. We're going to maybe just read, we'll have time, I think, to read about what the Lord did on those 3 days, at the third day after he rose. Let's look at Luke's gospel. You people here at Parkridge have been enjoying the studies in the gospel of Luke, is that right? And Luke was a physician, and he wrote the gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of the Acts, all about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, he said about him, Luke, the beloved physician. So when you're reading about all the things concerning Luke, you want to think of him, of what Paul thought of him. He was a beloved brother in the Lord. Well, here's a story for you from towards the end of Luke's gospel. It's 24th chapter, pardon me. Verse 13. I have to be careful. I just had eye surgery on my left eye before we left Winnipeg, so I just have to be a little more careful. I haven't got Jean standing right alongside of me. Now, here's something about Dr. Luke wrote about that third appointed day. Did God speak then? Yes, he did. Now, behold, two of those who had been looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, two of them were traveling that same day. This is the same day, the first day of the week, when the Lord appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene. Remember that lovely story? Well, here, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles, quite a journey he was on. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And so it was, listen to this, while they conversed and reasoned between themselves, these two people, Jesus himself, here's by his son he's spoken, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them as they walked. He walked right along with them. But their eyes, like me before I had my operation, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, the Lord, here's God speaking, and these last days he's spoken unto us by his son. Here he is. He said, what kind of conversation is this that you have with each other as you walk and are sad? How come you're down so much? Are we ever like that? Sure we are. Then the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what's been going on here? And the Lord had made them their eyes a little bit so that they didn't recognize him. Are you a stranger? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days, these last 3 days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, and here he was walking along with them, and they didn't know who he was. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers, our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death, there is Calvary, and crucified him. What the Lord have thought when they were saying this to him. But we were, listen to this, we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel, because these were Jewish men that were drawing along there. The two people were Jewish. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They'd heard what the Lord had said, that he was going to be crucified, that he would be buried, but that on the third day he was going to rise again. But they'd forgotten all about that promise. Yes, and listen to this. Certain of other women are of our company who arrived at the tomb. They went out early this morning to have a look at the cemetery, at the tomb, the sepulcher. Astonished us. They really surprised us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. I wonder, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son. What's he going to say? What's the Lord going to say? Listen to this. When they did not find his body, they came saying that he had been seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us, these are the two talking again, they went and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They couldn't find him. And of course, we know all about Mary. The Lord came and spoke to Mary. Then he, here's God hath spoken. In the last days, spoken unto us by his son. Verse 25, then he said to them, God has spoken. I have to think of this for Hebrews chapter 1. In the last days, he has spoken unto us by his son. Jesus said to them, call them foolish ones. Imagine that. Didn't think about that, did you? Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Old Testament had prophesied about him coming. Being born of a virgin, had spoken of the place where he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But here, you are foolish ones. You didn't believe what God spoke about in the Old Testament. listen to verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Can you imagine what those two people must have wondered? What's he talking about? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Listen to this now. And beginning, here's what Moses and all the prophets did. God has spoken in verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, this person, this strange person, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Israel? No. Did he speak about the destruction of the world someday to come? No. All the things concerning himself. And they didn't know who he was. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made out as though he was going to keep on walking. He'd come out along that way with them. But they constrained him, verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it is about evening, toward evening, and the day is far spent. And this stranger, God the Son, went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, same as we did here this morning at the meeting before this. Somebody came, took the loaf of bread and broke it, and he took and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it, first of all, as somebody did here this morning. And he broke the bread, just like our brother did, took that loaf in his hands. And this stranger, God had son. Here he was. He took bread and blessed and break it, and he gave it to them right out of his very hands. And then, listen to what it says in verse 31. Then their eyes were opened. Maybe some of you can't think about what that must have been like. I had that surgery a little over a month ago. I couldn't see out of this left eye at all. And the next day, when they took the great big patch off my eye, I could cover this eye and I could see. Now these two, they're in Emmaus. Their eyes were opened when the Lord handed them the bread. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. Now those little words, desire that God has for each one of us here at Parkcrest today. They knew him. God has spoken. In these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. And he wants us to get to, God wants us to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the one. It's a sacrifice for what? For your sins and my sins. And as many as us have believed on him, we don't go through any kind of an induction procedure. God, through his Spirit, puts his seal upon our hearts. Those who have received him, what have they got? Listen to what the Lord said. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Oh, in a world today that has all kinds of false gods, yes? There's only one true God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God has spoken. He wants us to hear. Yes, have we heard? And he wants to what? Us to what? He wants us to believe. Those who have trusted Christ are those who have believed in him. As the one, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, he's spoken unto us by his Son. He's appointed him heir of all things. Oh, by whom also, by him, he made the world. We've read that. Genesis chapter 1. Right about Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is. Listen to what it says, Colossians chapter 1. This is wonderful. Colossians chapter 1, We'll just read a few verses there for me to close our meeting today. From verse 9, Colossians 1 and 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy unto him, being fruitful in every good work. Two people there in Emmaus, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us, listen to this, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. When he died on the cross for our sins, he delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, spoken unto us by his Son, in whom, listen to this, verse 14, in whom redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. Yes, for listen to verse 16. For by him, there's the Son, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all were created through him and for him. I'm not making this up. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is, listen to this, he is the head of the body, the church. That's all those who have loved him as their Savior. They're members of his church, of his body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And here's the preeminence of Christ, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And it's 3 minutes to 12. But if I were to take you to the very last book in the Bible, or even to the Corinthians, if any person is in Christ, every one of you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for you, all the old things of your old life, what happened to them? They're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. They're passed away. Behold, all things. Now, this is what trusting Christ means to me and can mean to you as well today. Behold, all things are become new. And if we were to go to the second last chapter of the last book in the Bible, 21, we'd read there, God says, behold, the first heaven, the first earth, they're going to one day be passed away. Yes, there's going to be an end of everything here. Behold, I make all. The God of all creation has spoken. The one who made everything, we read that, he's also the one who is going to be in charge of everything when the new heaven and the new earth come. Where are we going to be? Those of us that know Christ is our Savior, but saved from our sins, we're going to be together in heaven, yes, with him. John 14 said, he said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. God has spoken to us by his Son. There's this message for us at Parkrest this morning. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, that's heaven, the Father's house, there you may be also. I trust that every one of us here, from the oldest, maybe I'm one of the oldest today, not quite, to the youngest, that you can say in your heart, yes, I know him, the only true God and Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to be with him forever in heaven. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we cannot save anyone. Thou knowest that. We know it. We recognize that. Each one of us have to make that decision for ourselves. Those two on the way to Emmaus, they knew him. What did they see? They saw the nail print scars in his hands, and they knew him. And the two of them packed it up right there and then and walked that 7 miles back to Jerusalem and told the disciples, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he was in our house with us for supper tonight." And we saw the wounds in his hands. We know he's alive forevermore. And they knew that their sins were forgiven. They knew they were on their way to heaven. And they had these words to share. God has spoken. And they shared that wonderful message with the disciples, who needed to be convinced as well as they had been. So this morning, for everyone here at Parkrest, we pray that this will be the realization in our hearts of knowing Christ for each one of us, and to know for certain that we're on our way to heaven. God has spoken, and it's our responsibility to respond with a very positive, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of my soul." For time, yes, and for eternity, we give thanks and ask that this will be the portion for everyone here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks very much, everyone, for being attentive. And just